The shelter. On the Monday in May they opened the shelter, Marcus Westbrook stood in the back of the crowd on East 4th Street and watched the mayor and the governor cut the ribbon in front of a building that was really a tent, a great pale structure the size of a warehouse thrown up on the old ball field where the governor's bowl had been, and he clapped when everyone clapped, because he worked for the city and it was his job to be there, and because the thing was, on its own terms, good. He was 43. He had spent his life being the man in the room where the shouting stopped, an aide on the fourth floor of the city hall a mile west, and he knew what this building had taken to build, the federal pandemic money run down to the wire. Three governments that agreed on almost nothing agreeing on this, a place with 600 beds and room for hundreds more, showers and lockers, and a kennel for people's dogs, put up to replace the worn-out old shelter on Record Street that had never been near big enough. It was the most beds the valley had ever had under one roof. It was good. He believed that, and he stood in the sun and clapped for it. Then, over the next weeks, the other half of it came. The half he had known was coming, the way you know the second shoe will drop. To fill a shelter, you have to empty the places people already are, and the places people already were, that spring, were the willow thickets and gravel bars along the Truckee, the camps that had grown all through the plague year when the town shut down and the rents went up and the vacancy rate fell to almost nothing, and there was simply nowhere at the bottom for anyone to go. The fire department had run to more than 300 fires along the river corridor in a year, so now the crews went down to the river with notice, and then without much notice, and they cleared the camps, tent by tent, and told the people there were beds a mile east on 4th Street, and some went and some scattered, and some came back to the river the next week, because a bunk in a room with 500 strangers was not a thing everyone could bear. And the city called it clean and safe, and the advocates called it a sweep, and both of them were standing on a piece of the truth, and Marcus, who had a desk on the fourth floor and a phone that rang from both directions, stood in the middle of it, as he always did. In the third week of June, they came to City Plaza downtown, a couple dozen of them, to say the sweeps had to stop until there was somewhere real for people to land, and Marcus went down at lunch and stood at the edge of it, near his own building, and listened. He knew some of them. He had come up with them in the door-knocking years of his 20s before he ever took a city paycheck. A woman he had organized alongside 20 years before caught his eye across the plaza and did not wave, only looked at him, and he understood the look. It said, "Which side of this are you on?" It was a fair question. It was the question of his whole life. Because he carried a thing none of the young ones in the plaza carried, which was the memory in his own blood of being the people the town wanted somewhere else. His grandmother's people had platted a settlement north of town in the 1940s because the banks downtown would not lend a black family a dollar below a certain street, and had fought the county 10 years just to get water piped up to it. His great-great-grandmother had given the ground for a church on a block the town would rent black families and no other. He had spent a good part of his own youth in the near downtown blocks fighting to keep the people who lived there from being priced and cleared out when the money came sniffing around. He knew, better than anyone standing on that hot concrete, what it was to be moved along for the good of a town that had not asked you where you wanted to be. And now he drew his check from the town, and the town was moving people along, and it was, this time, at least partly for their own good, and he could not make the two halves of that sight still together. He went back up to the fourth floor and did the work, because that was the discipline his mother had drilled into him, that you did not stand in the ashes and grieve. You wrote the list, and you worked it. He worked the phones. He got a woman with a wheelchair a bottom bunk. He found out why the promised counselors were not all there yet, which was that they had built the beds faster than they could hire the people, and he wrote it down and pushed it up the chain where somebody could act on it. He learned that the sanctioned camp they were putting up beside the big tent was still just tents and cots on a gravel lot, that the better shelters they kept describing were somewhere down the road, and he wrote that down too. This was the work. It was unglamorous and partial, and it helped a handful of actual people who would not otherwise have been helped. And it was, he believed, worth doing. And it was also nowhere near enough. And both of those were true. And he had made his peace long ago with living inside that particular contradiction, because the alternative was to leave the room and let it be run by people who felt no contradiction at all. That evening, he did not drive straight home. He went down instead to the river, to Wingfield Park and the path along the water, where a camp had stood in April and was gone now. The willows trampled, a single blue tarp still snagged in a branch above the current where the high water of the winter had left it. The truckie ran on past low and clear in the June light, the same river his family had lived beside for 5 generations, while the town made up its mind, slowly and grudgingly, about who belonged on its banks. Somewhere east on 4th Street, the great pale tent was filling for the night. 600 people who had a roof, and somewhere out past the edge of town were the ones who had not gone in. And Marcus stood on the empty gravel where the camp had been and did not know how to feel about his own day's work, whether he had done a small good thing or helped do a large hard one, and he stood there in the going light until it was too dark to see the water, and then he went up the bank to his car, carrying the question home with him unanswered, the way he had carried it all his life. Historical note. The Nevada Cares campus, a large emergency homeless shelter, opened on May 17, 2021, on the site of the former governor's ballpark along East 4th Street in Reno. Built with federal pandemic relief funds by the city of Reno, in partnership with the city of Sparks and Washoe County, and operated at first by Volunteers of America, it replaced the aging downtown community assistance center on Record Street. Its opening coincided with intensified clearing of homeless encampments along the Truckee River, which drew protest from advocates, including a June 2021 demonstration in downtown Reno. The camps had grown during the COVID-19 pandemic amid a severe housing shortage. The adjacent sanctioned safe camp began as tents and cots. Mayor Hillary Scheeve and Governor Steve Sisolak attended the opening.